ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ नौ इन् दिस् वेदान्तसारा टेक्स्ट् वेदान्तसारा तत्त्वबोधः आल्मोस्ट् कण्टेण्ट् इस् द सेम् बट् मोर् एक्साम्पल्स् आर् गिवन् हियर् फार् एव्रिथिङ्ग् दर्स् एन् एक्साम्पल् इस् गिवन् अण्ड् द क्लासिफिकेशन् आफ् कर्मास् आर् आल् नाट् इस् नाट् देर् इन् वेदान्त तत्त्वबोध Whereas here we have all that. So we saw in the last class, we are seeing the Nadhikari is the one who has become qualified by performing all these different types of karma, either in this Janma or in previous Janma. Which means, what is the subtle point that is hinted here? Performance of all these different types of rituals and actions, mundane activities and also religious activities or secular activities or sacred activities, all these rituals and actions, etc., made him a disciplined person. That's what it's emphasized here. Performance of actions really contributes for disciplining of the mind. And which is a very, very important thing for the pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, he says, Asmin Janmani Janmantareva, either in this life or some other life or many other lives, one must perform these duties. You know, somehow that has contributed for the mental preparation, eligibility, for some punyam that he is able to. He has become inclined for the study of the Shastram. In that, he is the Adhikari, this textbook mentioned. And when it enumerated the list of the karmas, and we want to know what different names are mentioned, what Prayaschitta Karma, Nitya Karma, Naimittikam Karma, hope you are following me strictly, not simply listening and forgetting things. Every next time when I see you, you should be able to tell what are the karmas, which means you have to make a serious, you have to note down the names of the karmas, etc. If you casually listen and forget means it's not a serious study. You should be able to tell what all the karmas we discussed here. So, and also when the karmas were discussed, we also saw the examples for each karma. Example for Prayaschitta Karma, example for Nitya Karma, example for Naimittikam Karma, example for Pitru Karma, all the karmas we saw. Then, from there we have moved on to, we have completed all the karmas, etc. So, in that context, we are also seeing now those disciplines. Shamadhi Shatka Sampannah. So, we are seeing that. We'll see that now. Shamadayastu. Shamadayastu. Shamadama Uparati Titiksha Samadhana Shaddhakhyaha. So, in this context, he talks about the sixfold disciplines. Dattu was also, we get the same disciplines. You would have heard it. Shamaha, Damaha, Uparatihi, Titiksha. One thing is the difference, order is different. Shraddha, Samadhanam. or here samadhana shraddhakyaha. Akhyaha means known as the sixfold disciplines in terms of shamaha, damaha, uparatihi or uparamaha mean the same. Then titiksha, shraddha, samadhanam. Six. So here, there we saw shamaha in Tattva Bodha is defined as mano nigraha. In Tattva Bodha, hope you are not following anything, reading books on your computers. Please listen to me, otherwise I can make out if you are not following. Shamaha, there it is mentioned as mano nigraha. So mano nigraha, I explained, mastery over one's thoughts, one's emotions, one's mind, or okay, ways of thinking, you know, is mano nigraha. Literally, people may translate it as a control. It's not a mind control. It is relative mastery over one's way of thinking or one's thoughts and emotions. So here, what he gives, let us look at this. What is shamaha? How it is defined here? You have to see here, I'm going to do both. How it is defined in Tattva Bodha, how it is defined here. You have to see both. Beautiful, it is nice to know. Shamastavat, at least now I can, you can, next class you can memorize what all the types of karmas, now what are those disciplines? Sixfold disciplines together constitute one important qualification for a person who is aspiring for knowledge. These qualifications are required. Even the person whoever aspires for accomplishing even the relative ends, even the worldly ends, or even the any mundane ends also, it's very important for one to be disciplined. An indisciplined person cannot achieve anything, leave alone moksha and jnanam. Therefore, here the disciplines are enumerated. And here we see shamastavat. Can you read it? Shamaha tavat. Shamaha means, what is shamaha? Shravanadi. Shravanadi. Yatirikta Vishayebhyaha Manasaha Nigraha. Remember, we are still discussing the Adhikari. Who is the main subject matter of our discussion now? Adhikari. Adhikari means what? The person who is eligible, qualified for the knowledge of the truth, thereby who is aspiring for moksha and jnanam. Eligible person. And there we are discussing about the disciplines that he already has. What are the disciplines this person has? But you have to see disciplines. Shamaha. What is shamaha? Shravana adi. Adi means etc. Shravana, shravanam means listening. Shravanam in Sanskrit language is a gerund, which means listening. Listening to what? In this context, shravanam literally means listening. You can be listening to anything. But listening to, but here shravana means listening to the unfoldment of the subject matter of the scriptures. Is shravanam. Okay, shravanam. Adi means etc. So anything to be done which goes with the discipline of listening to the unfoldment of the shastram. Any other thing, any other discipline, anything else which goes with the discipline of listening to the shastram, or which makes the mind conducive, or which is supportive of the shastra study. Anything and everything a person does which is supportive of the shastra study is what now adi. The inclination, that word adi stands for anything and everything which a person does or follows which is supportive of the shastra study, which goes along with the study of the shastram, is called what? Adi. Shravana adi. Vyatirikta. Vyatirikta means other than. வெத்திரிக்த அதர் தன் விஷயேபியா விஷயேபியா மீன் வாட் நோ from the objects, from the things. விஷயேபியா மனசக நிக்ரஹ. There also he says மனோ நிக்ரஹ ஆர் மனசக நிக்ரஹ. So keeping the having mastery over one's ways of thinking, one's thoughts, one's mind means making all possible efforts to keep the attention of the mind away from things other than things which are supportive of the Shastra study and the study of the Shastram. Why he says that? What does it mean here? See, Shastra study, if a person's mind is focused in study of the Shastram, then all the time Shastra study remains one of the importance of following Dharma. The necessity of following Dharma. Importance of living one's life in conformity with Dharma. Living a life of values. People will feel bored with emphasis Dharma. I told you many times, this is very important in the whole. Nobody emphasizes Dharma. Everybody talks about jnanam, consciousness and oneness of the truth, moksha and all that. Nobody pays any attention to this fact. Because without which jnanam is impossible. Moksha is impossible. Then what is Dharma here? I told you, again repeat, I don't mind repeating it. Every class, in all the Upanishad class, I can repeat this one thing. There are two important facts, beautiful facts. What are one is, nobody wants to be unhappy. Nobody in the world wants to be unhappy is a fact. Nobody wants to get hurt is a fact. So the whole Sanatana Dharma, the whole Hindu way of life, the whole Vedic way of life is based on, you know, these two facts, which means the ultimate end to be accomplished as the ultimate vision of the Shastram is what? Based on the fact that nobody wants to be unhappy. If moksha is taken to be the ultimate goal, absolute end, choiceless end, because it's based on the fact that nobody wants to be unhappy. And the whole way of life, how one should live one's life in order to prepare one's mind for this ultimate vision, absolute end, is based on the fact nobody wants to get hurt. You cannot make it, this teaching cannot be improved upon, okay? This cannot be improved. This is a fact. The whole way of life. That is why the two, the means and the end, live a life of Dharma, be prepared, discover the truth. This is the means, this is the end. And living a life of Dharma implies what? Doing your duties, understanding your responsibilities, and where you live Dharma. That is why, very clean. Live Dharma, follow the, you know, prepare, become qualified, discover the truth, discover freedom. That's the end. Anyway, therefore, Shamaha, what he says, living a life of Dharma means having mastery over one's ways of thinking, means how to have mastery over one's own thought only by using your will, using your knowledge of right and wrong consciously, irrespective of what you are going to lose, what you are going to gain. You do what is right and refrain from the wrong. Why? Because it means your actions are governed by Dharma, they're not really simply not according to your likes and dislikes. Isn't it? This is called what now? Shamaha. Actually, even Taittiriya Upanishad class that they have said, whole Dharma Shastram. Dharma Shastram, if we take, the Veda Purva Bhaga is a Dharma Shastram. The Veda Uttara Bhaga is Moksha Shastram or Jnana Shastram, Jnana Kanda. Dharma Shastram means what? The Dharma Shastram mainly consists of three factors. The three factors constitute the Dharma Shastram. One is mainly living a worshipful, prayerful life, religion. Living a religious life, following the religion. Living a religious life, following religion means being religious. Comes under Dharma Shastra. It's a dharma. Being religious is dharma, following dharma. Being religious means what? Being worshipful and prayerful. Seeking Bhagavan's grace for accomplishing what we need is prayerful life. Being thankful to Bhagavan for all that we are blessed with is what? Worshipful life. So being religious is very important, which means you are worshipful and prayerful. So perform rituals, etc. That's a different thing. Being religious is one aspect of the Dharma Shastra. The second is ethics or righteousness or living a life of values. Values constitute the second aspect of Dharma Shastra. The third aspect of Dharma Shastra is attitude. What attitude do we have towards our own parents, our guests, the world, everything, the other fellow being, other living creatures? What is the attitude you have towards everything? Bhavana. So, the first aspect is karma. Karma means being religious. Living a religious life. Second aspect is being ethical, being righteous. The third aspect is entertaining appropriate attitude towards parents, teachers, elders, other fellow beings, you know, and the guests. The attitude, three aspects. And if you have to see, and there, the shamaha means what? You do things only when you are religious, you are ethical, you have appropriate attitude towards everybody means is what doing things which are conducive, which go along with the Shastra study. Shravanam, what is Mano Nigraha? Means I follow these three factors. I try to have appropriate attitude. I live a life of values. Then I am highly worshipful and prayerful to Bhagavan. The three factors should go along with the Shastra Shravanam. Because every time you listen to Shastram, Shastram will emphasize these three factors. These three factors constitute what? Dharma Shastram. Therefore, it's called Shravanadi Vyatirikta Vishayebhyaha Manasaha Nigraha, which means you take the mind attention away from things which are not conducive, which are not supportive of the Shastra study. You mean what now? Taking your attention of the mind away from things means not involving oneself in anything inappropriate. What is appropriate then? Having proper attitude, being ethical and righteous, mean the same. Then being worshipful and prayerful. That's what is, then you are do that, you are ethical, you are righteous, you live values, you are worshipful, you are prayerful, then you have proper attitude, means having proper attitude towards parents, sister, parents, elders, relatives, every human being, every fellow creature, fellow being means what? You have reverence for everybody, reverence for everything. This is what? This only way you can have mastery over your ways of thinking. Is it clear now? Okay. Remember the three aspects. That's what Adi Shabda stands for. So, Shravanadi Vyatirikta Vishayebhyaha Manasaha Nigraha. In due course of time, you will have mastery over your ways of thinking, which means your mind will listen to what you are deciding. You will not listen to what your mind decides. This having mastery means you are not a slave of your mind. You have mastery over your mind. Which means if your actions are dictated by your likes and dislikes, you are slave of your thoughts, likes and dislikes. If your actions are governed by your knowledge of right and wrong, then you have mastery. You have choice. You can choose to be a slave of your mind, or you can choose to be a master of your mind. If you follow, your actions are governed by your knowledge of right and wrong, buddhi, then you have mastery. Your likes and dislikes govern your activities, you're a slave. Which means if you go against dharma, you're a slave. If you don't go against dharma, means you're a mastery. Which means, I told you even in the class, it talked about the surrender. And which means, when I choose to do the right actions, I refrain from the wrong actions, my will becomes surrendered to dharma. The surrendering one's will to dharma is, I told in the class, surrendering one's will to Bhagavan. And surrendering one's will to Bhagavan is what? Relative sharanagatihi. Please understand the sharanagati. There is no way of surrendering oneself to Bhagavan. The two surrenders. Absolute surrender is only in knowledge. Until the knowledge takes place. Now, knowing who Bhagavan is what? Absolute surrender. Where you resolve your identity with Bhagavan. Until then, for the knowledge, not to prepare your mind for knowledge, knowing the value of values. Knowing the value of dharma. Unless you live a life of dharma, there's no way of becoming free from being a split personality. So unless and until you avoid being a split personality, your thought, word and deed are in alignment, then there's no way of becoming, having mastery over your mind. And for which your actions, definitely all the actions you want to do, of course, your actions are impelled by your desires, your needs, but still you choose to do the right or refrain from the wrong means your actions are governed by your knowledge of right and wrong. You are ethical, you are righteous, and which means your knowledge, actions are not simply governed by your own likes and dislikes. That which means your will becomes surrendered to dharma. The surrendering one's will to dharma is surrendering one's will to Bhagavan, which is relative sharanagati. So shamaha, a person who has shamaha is the one who has really surrendered his will to Bhagavan in the form of dharma. If you don't live life of dharma, there will no mastery over your thoughts. Yes, you just do whatever your mind desires tell you, then there's no surrender. Okay, this is shamaha. Today I told you all these things the different times, different places. Now I put them together. Okay, shamaha. The next is damaha. What is damaha? We are seeing in Tattubodha class also. Now we can say bahya indriyanam. Bahya indriyanam tad vyatirikta vishayebhyaha nivartanam. Tad means shastra study again. So, damaha is a mastery over one's senses. Which means the avoidance of overindulgence. The sense are, we are blessed with the sense organs because they are instruments of knowledge and instruments of actions. So, they're meant for our enjoyment. We have to make use of them. So, you can enjoy pleasures. You can enjoy, do things, nothing wrong. But here they must be, you must have mastery. Over, you can't avoid overindulgence. Everything must be in moderation, which means when any enjoyment of any pleasure must be such that it is supportive of your shastra study and living a life of dharma. Anything which makes you go against dharma, then you avoid. So dhamaha here is, it means whether it is seeing or hearing, what to hear, what to see, what to smell, what to taste, what to touch, all these objects of enjoyment you can enjoy, but if these objects of enjoyment will distract you from living a life enjoined by the shastram, or living a life of dharma, distract you from the shastra study, then that is indiscipline. So all the objects of enjoyment of objects is conducive, supportive for the shastra study and living a life enjoined by the shastram, then you have mastery over senses also. You use your senses, you enjoy the objects of pleasures, but the enjoyment of objects in no way distract you, takes you away from the life enjoined by the shastram. It takes you away from living a life of dharma, takes you away from listening to the subject matter of the shastram. Then enjoyment is okay, no problem. That's why it's called a dhamaha. If enjoyment of pleasures, if takes your mind away from the shastra study, takes your life, takes, distracts you, it doesn't allow you to live a life enjoyed by the shastram, it doesn't allow you to live a life of dharma, then you are a slave of your senses. A simple thing. Therefore, dhamaha. This is dhamaha, second discipline. Okay. Uparamaha or uparatihi. What is uparamaha, uparatihi? Nivartitanam yetesham tadvyatirikta vishayebhyah uparamanam uparatihi. So uparamanam, uparatihi, uparamaha. Three words mean the same. Uparamanam is a neuter gender word. Uparatihi, feminine gender word. Uparamaha, masculine gender word. I'll repeat it. Uparamaha, masculine gender word. Uparatihi, feminine gender word. Uparamanam, neuter gender word. All the three words mean the same. It's a third discipline. What is uparamanam or what is uparatihi? He says, nivartitanam yetesham tad vyatirikta vishayebhyah uparamanam. Athava, otherwise, vihitanam karmanam vidhina parityagah. Vihitanam karmanam vidhina parityagah. Actually, uparamaha, I can say simply, the beautifully, being focused on one's own duties, for doing one's own duties, being focused on fulfilling one's responsibilities and duties, means it will make you refrain from things which are not necessary. So refraining oneself, withdrawing oneself from activities which are not one's duties, it's called uparatihi. Uparamana means withdrawal. You withdraw yourself from all the activities. Why do you? Because you are not involved in everything. Your attention is not scattered. or distract all over. You are focused. You know what your duties are. You know what responsibilities are. And you are focused in that only. Which means you withdraw yourself from unnecessary and irrelevant activities, even if they are good activities. Even if they are good actions also. You don't need to do everything. Isn't it? You need to do what your duty, know your duties, then perform your duties. Know your responsibilities, fulfill your responsibilities. Which means the whole attention is paid only to your duties and responsibilities so that you are not distracted, so that you don't do everything half-baked. At least, you know, sometimes you don't do your duties and go and do something else which is not necessary, which is not really required. It may not be a wrong action. See, in Shamaha, we say you choose to do only right actions. You avoid the wrong actions. But in Uparamaha, even the right actions also, which is not your duty, doesn't require you, it's not your responsibility, then you don't need to do it. You be focused on your own duties and fulfill your responsibilities. That is Uparamaha. You withdraw yourself from the whole lot of things available, then do focus on one thing. See, there's so many things are there in the world. Can you go and involve yourself in everything? In the world, so many things are happening. Hundreds of charitable activities. Hundreds of those activities. Okay, suppose if you go to Chennai in December, you'll be confused. You know why? So many sabhas. And everywhere, every musician is a great musician. Oh my God. Sudharanathan in this sabha. Unnikesh other sabha. Bhamajeshi in other sabha. Nitish Mahadev in other sabha. People get confused. Where to go? They got tickets, free tickets for two sabhas. Where to go? So confusing. With here or there. Or one hour here, one hour there. We won't get a seat. It's overflowing. Chennai is really Gandharva Loka. You know, in December you see music. Oh my God. We're confused. But you must be very clear. I am going to attend only this kacheri today, only this concert today. Let there be other people. And this is the person of my interest, and I am going to listen to this, no confusion there. And also you go to IKEA. They're supposed to have the whole jagat, a lot of things there. It's a miniature world, IKEA. So you don't need to, when you go to buy something, you are focused. You go straight to the place where the things you want are exhibited. There are things you already decided to what to buy. So you go to IKEA. And you go straight to that place. You don't stop on the way. Exactly already come. What now? With the deciding what to buy. But because you go there, you don't stop in every corner. And you don't start seeing everything. Every object is useful. But you are not going to buy everything, isn't it? Imagine if you go there, you go with the intention of buying something, and after going there, you stop in front of every corner, and the whole day you spend, finally you don't come back without buying anything. Which means what, you are distracted, isn't it? That's what Shastram says. Like in the whole jagat is what? Actions. Lots of things to do in the world. Everything is relevant, everything is useful, everything is important also. Like you can't go and tell IKEA person it's not useless. Everything he's selling is important, but you know what you need to buy and choose to buy. The same way in the world, there's so many things to do. So many things, the whole world is full of, you know, things which you can do, achieve, accomplish, but you be focused. What your duties are, what responsibilities are, and refrain from the rest of the things and do focus on that. It's called Uparamanam. Uparamanam means what? Withdrawing oneself from activities and things which are unnecessary and irrelevant, unimportant, and focusing on one's own duties and thereby focusing on fulfilling one's responsibilities is called Uparamaha, Uparamanam. In the Shamaha, you avoid the non-right actions which transgress the values, the order, which go again, rub against the order. But here, you are withdrawing also in the righteous action, right things also, which is not relevant for you, which is not important for you, don't need to do. It's Uparamanam. Then Titiksha. Titiksha, let's see Titiksha now. Shita Ushnadi Dvandva Sahishnuta. There, Shita Ushna Sukha Dukkadi Sahishnutvam. In Taitva Bodha, we come across as Sahishnutvam. Sahishnutvam and Sahishnuta mean the same. Sahishnutvam is the word found in Tattva Bodha. That's also a noun. Sahishnuta also is the noun. Sahishnuta is a feminine word, gender word. Sahishnutvam is a neutral gender word. Both are nouns. Sahishnuta means forbearance, tolerance, endurance, noun. Sahishnutvam means the same. Endurance, tolerance, forbearance. Okay. Now, titiksha means sahishnutvam, sahishnuta. Endurance of what? He says dvandva. Dvandva means pairs of opposites. Dvandvam means a pair of opposites. So, not only one pair of opposites. We have many pairs of opposites in life. Like what? Shita, Ushna, Adi. Shitam, cold, Ushnam, na heat. Heat and cold and heat. They are pairs of one pair of opposites. He just Adi, etc. So, remaining the same, remaining equanimous, remaining balanced, remaining the same, entertaining the sameness of mind in all situations, desirable and the undesirable, when we go through these pairs of opposites in life, life is full of pairs of opposites only. There's nobody's life who's only life or of only of pleasures. No life is only of pains. Everyone has to go through these pairs of opposites. Maybe the proportion of what I go through, the pain and pleasure may vary from person to person, but still everyone has to go through pain and pleasure, loss and gain, victory and defeat, honor and dishonor. No, these are all very pairs of opposites. Life means going through pairs of opposites. What are these pairs of opposites? They're actually punya papa phalam, the fruits of punyam and papa phalam. Pain and pleasure, or loss and gain, victory and defeat, success and failure, honor and dishonor. All these pairs of opposites can be reduced to two things. What are they? Pain and pleasure. Desirable, undesirable. These situations we go through. Why do we go through? They are the results of our own punya, papa, karma. Results of our own actions, previous actions. And they are determined by whom? Determined by the natural laws. And do we see the natural laws? No, we do not see those laws. Where are these laws? These laws are, the laws are there as part and parcel of this universe, this creation, this manifestation. We do not see these natural laws, but we can understand these laws being manifest. We can understand the laws being manifest, but we cannot see the laws through physical eyes. And definitely, there are innumerable countless laws which are there as part and parcel of this one universal natural moral law and order. And every situation we go through exists within the realm of an order. There's no disorder at all. Undesirable situation, whether I go through, anybody else goes through, every situation is definitely ordained by the natural law. And we look at all the laws as what? Every law which governs these results of actions are definitely none other than Bhagavan. Why we call Bhagavan? Because any law is what? Within the realm of the order. Therefore, the order is backed by knowledge. And knowledge is what? Manifestation of reality, which is Bhagavan. Therefore, the knowledge manifest knowledge is Bhagavan, Ishvara. And the law backed by this knowledge is what? Ishvara ordained law. So, law ordained, law determined situation I go through is what? Lord ordained situation. That's why we say everything is ordained by Bhagavan. This is another subtle fact about this thing. Therefore, what? So, Shastram says, remaining the same in all situations, remaining equanimous in all situations is possible only without elation or dejection, or can remain balanced only if we look at all the situations as prasada. And a prasada buddhihi, one can entertain the attitude of looking at everything as prasada only if we understand this fact and remember this fact that every situation I'm going through is ordained by Bhagavan in the form of law and order, in conformity with my own punya papas. There cannot be anything without the cause. There is a cause behind everything I'm going through. Whether you know or you do not know, there is a cause why I have to go through this situation. There's a cause. Not something suddenly your Mahatma and Bhagavan makes you go through all suffering. That's not true. Okay? We all have our own. We are in Bhagavan makes us settle our accounts with Bhagavan in name of order. Only when we go through the situations, slowly we pay back our debts. We settle our accounts with Bhagavan in name of order. Therefore, all situations are ordained by the dharma, law and order, Bhagavan of dharma. Therefore, I look at it as prasada. Second thing, this attitude, even though it's law ordained situations, they have their own limitations. They are of the nature of coming and going. Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Krishna makes it very clear. Agama apayinaha anityaha. You know, when the sense organs come in contact with the sense objects, definitely they will give rise to what? These pairs of opposites, the pain and pleasure, etc. What is the nature? No pain will last forever. No pleasure will last forever. No success will last forever. No victory will last forever. No honor will last forever. The same way, undesirable situations also will not last forever. Nothing will last forever. The whole life, its span of life itself is time bounds, isn't it? There's a beginning and an end. And in between, we go through situations. They're all of the nature of coming and going. They're time bound in nature. Agama apayinaha anityaha. Krishna makes so tan titikshasva Arjuna. May you endure them. Learn to endure them, he says. And here, therefore titiksha. Once remember these three facts, they're all Lord ordained in conformity with my own punya papa. I have no say over them. Results of actions are determined by Bhagavan in the form of law and order. I cannot change them. Second thing, they're all of the nature of coming and going. They're time bound in nature. Okay, nothing is permanent. And second thing, above all, I am living this life. I'm going through these pairs of opposites. Ultimately, what now? Living this life, ultimately to discover the everlasting happiness, which is fullness, which is my own nature. These factors will help you remain balanced in all situations and learning to remain equanimous in all situations is called what? Endurance, titiksha. And that's in Vedanta Sara, the teacher also says, சீத உஷ்ண ஆதி ஆதி மீன்ஸ் எக்ஸெட்ரா. சீத உஷ்ணா ஹீட் அண்ட் கோல்ட் அண்ட் ஹீட் ஹி மென்ஷன்ஸ். தி ரெஸ்ட் ஆஃப் தி பேர்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆப்போசிட்ஸ் ஆர் மென்ட் இம்ப்ளைட். ஓகே, துவந்த்வ சகிஷ்ணுதா, endurance of pairs of opposites one has to go through in life. It only says what is sahishnuta, but how to endure, how to remain balanced, that is not said here. There is no prakarana granthah or no upanishad, no shastram tells you how to remain balanced, isn't it? But Bhagavad Gita teaches how to remain balanced. The values are taught, enumerated here, the disciplines are enumerated here, but how to become disciplined, it is not said here. That is care of Bhagavad Gita. Matitiksha. And here, there is a beautiful verse actually. It is not part of this work textbook. If you want, as a verse, everything is given in the form of verse only in Shastram. Even can you believe, even the logics we have in the form of verses. Grammar is in the form of verses. So we can memorize everything. In Sanskrit language, they wanted to memorize everything. Grammatical rules we had memorized. All in the form of verses. What is Titiksha? He says, Sahanam Sarva Dukkhanam. It is not there, I think. I'm just telling you. There's a verse defining endurance. There's a verse. Sahanam sarva dukkhanam apratikara purvakam. Apratikara purvakam. Chinta vilapa rahitam. Chinta vilapa rahitam. Sati tikshani gadyate. Sati diksha nigadyate. This is what is said to be titiksha, endurance. What is endurance? What is forbearance? He says, chinta vilapa rahitam. Chinta means worry, anxiety. Vilapaha means, vilapaha means all the time complaining and lamenting is vilapa. So, without lamenting, without worrying, without being anxious, why you are not complaining, why not lamenting, why you are not anxious? Because you are calm. Why are you calm? Because you are, there is a sameness of mind. Why is the sameness of mind? Because you all understood, you accept it as prasada. And you see it is law ordained. And you know it is going to go. Understanding of the fact about the pairs of opposites. What is pain? What is the nature of pain? What is pleasure? What is victory? What is failure? What is defeat? Now, what is... You understand everything. If you analyze everything, you can understand everything is relative. Nothing is absolute. It will help you later on understand. Then, sarva dukkhanam sahanam. No, really enduring all forms of pain that one has to go through in life without retaliating, without being reactive, without being rebellious. Doing anything against it. Isn't it? It's called sahanam sahanata. Only says, but how? I tell you, it's very important. Prasada buddhihi, very important. Prasada buddhihi, the attitude of being able to look at everything as a gift from the Lord, that you can note. Again, for you, Lord for you is not somebody who's sitting somewhere above. Lord is in the form of law, natural laws. Lord determines. Why Lord determines? In conformity with the intention, the motive with which you would have performed actions, in keeping with your actions, you are given the result is ordained by the law. And second thing, above all, thank God all these pairs of opposites are of the nature of coming and going. Three things, that's all, nothing else. Three facts about the situations you have to remember. Remember this, and above all, I am in, even if I go through pain now, dishonor now, even if I go through, I go through the pain of being humiliated, being not being honored, or being dishonored, or even if I'm going through the pain of, being failure, even if we have to happen to go through the pain of being defeated, or losses, whatever it is, I tell you, you have to remember the fact, this in no way it is going to prevent me from discovering my own nature, being happiness and fullness. You're not going to stop me from taking ownership of my nature, being happiness and fullness, and which is the absolute success. All the relative failure, there's no absolute failure at all. Other than moksha, other than jnanam, everything else is what? Relative only. Success also relative, failure also relative. And moksha is the absolute success, not just the absolute success. If we're going through these relative failures, relative problems, in no way they'll prevent me from taking ownership of my real nature, being fullness, which is the absolute success. Okay, that fact, remembering this fact also will help you endure the pain without becoming mad. Okay, when you go, we become always mad when the more we suffer, slowly will develop forgetfulness. The forgetfulness, now we go mad, people go depressed, antidepressant medication, all those you can avoid. That is why in India, to help people avoid taking antidepressant medication, they have discovered something called Navagraha Pradakshinam. Go to every temple, we have Navagraha sitting, nine planets. They'll ask you to go around the temple and light the lamp and then all the lemon lamp and do that. And attention is diverted towards all those things. Do this as a parihara. At a prashchitta karma, some parihara karma. Do this, do that puja, do this japam. Astrology will tell you. Astrologers keep somehow, even they are not sometimes not very good sometimes, but still somehow they divert attention from the pain and problems so that at least they help you avoid taking anti or medication. Okay, and so Navagraha Pradakshinam is definitely it is useful. All forms of worship and all, they help you really. Okay, itiksha, then samadhanam. You're coming to the last discipline. Oh no, sadda, we have got two more. What is samadhanam? Nigrihitasya manasaha Shravanadau tadanuguna vishaye cha samadhihi samadhanam. Samadhanam, samadhihi, again both mean the same. See, I told you that day, focused, being focused is samadhanam. Being attentive, the attentiveness or being focused is called samadhanam. Which means, in what? You may have, so in the world, so many things can happen, but you are focused. You never forget. After being exposed, study of the Shastram, at least some, because of some punyam, you have discovered this fact in this life. This purpose of living this human life is discovery of freedom, discovery of fullness, discovery of happiness, which is already there as the very nature of reality, as one's nature of one's own self. Therefore, by discovering oneself, taking ownership of his fullness as one's own real nature is the absolute, ultimate, choiceless end. In discovering which alone, mind will resolve for good. That's the only way you can have freedom from the hold of your mind for good, which is moksha. Okay, that's called absolute mastery over your mind. Absolute mastery over your mind means being free from the hold of the mind for good, which is possible only when you discover the fullness as your own Swarupam. This Jivan Mukti also. And this is, okay, and I'm living this life for this, accomplishing this end. If you are very clear, no doubt at all about it, then you have Purushartha Nischaya. You're clear about your pursuit of life, the goal of life. When the goal is very clear, you're focused. Knowledge is the only means for moksha, and knowledge becomes the absolute ultimate priority in your life, and the whole life you live, irrespective of what your profession is, what you're doing, what your duty is, whole your way of life is lived in, you know, focusing on this end for knowledge, you know, and how, also for knowledge, how I should live my life, how, what Shastram enjoins, my duties, understand my duties and respond to live my life like that, which means you are not distracted now. It's called being focused on, it's called now, you've taken your mind from everywhere else. Now mind, where is your mind? Attention is in moksha, jnanam, living a life of dharma and doing one's duties, karma yoga. No, you live a worshipful, prayerful, righteous life to prepare your mind ultimately for jnanam, and because jnanam is your goal, moksha is your goal, and your life is governed by a shastra enjoined life you are living means you are focused. Nothing can distract you. You may be with the people, you may be going here and there. You never lose sight of your goal and end. How you should live, what you are living this life for. How I live my life, there you are very clear, you are focused. And what you are living this life for, you are very clear. Two things. What am I living this life for? How I should live my life? These two factors, you are very clear. Nothing can distract you. This is called, we say, what? Being focused. That's why, Shravanado Tad Anuguna Vishayecha. Therefore, all your thing, Vishaye Samadhanam, if being focused in things which are supportive of the Shastra study, and the Shastra study, which means the whole lifestyle, how I should live my life. What am I living this life for? And you do everything in keeping with these two things. Knowledge of your way of life and the end of life. That's called what now? Samadhanam. Other books have not discussed very clearly, but I have told it very clearly. Okay? Samadhanam or Samadhi. Samadhi means don't think that something, don't have any fancy ideas. This is what is Samadhanam. You're very focused. You never forget. You may be attending weddings, you may be going for parties, you may be meeting people, you may be involved in social life. You never forget. What am I living this life for? Attending a wedding, attending any social event, or going for different programs, you know where you forget what are you living this life for. No situation, you forget how you should live your life. You can't say, no, sorry, I forgot about it. No, you never forget. You are in the world, you are with the world, you are amidst people, you are also equally social like anybody else. See, being a human being, you have choicelessly, you are social. We are social beings. We have to be social. You can be unsocial, keep away. You be with the society, in the society, amidst people. What is the difference between you with the Purushartha Nischaya and other people without the Purushartha Nischaya? Other people live their lives having Artha Kama as their ends. Artha Kamas are the ultimate ends for them. Therefore, they may follow Dharma, they may not follow Dharma. Whereas for you, Moksha is the end. And therefore, you are 100% committed to Dharma. And Artha Kamas also you respect, you need, you are pursuing Artha Kamas for living this life. Others are pursuing arthakamas as the ultimate end. For you, arthakamas are not the ultimate ends. You are also pursuing arthakama as relative ends which are required for living this life. But for you, ultimate end is moksha. This is the difference, okay? Others cannot be focused, but you are focused. That's called what? Samadhanam. So, okay? Now next is Shraddha. Guru Upadishta Vedanta Vakyeshu Vishwasaha Shraddha. Shraddha, even we were reading the same portion now in our class, in our Chandogya Upanishad. But differently, the Upanishad presents the teaching differently. But here it's very clearly said, Shraddha. What is Shraddha? Is also one of the sixfold disciplines. Shraddha here is the faith. Faith means what? Unflinching faith. Faith in what? Faith in Vishwasaha. In Tamil, we have the word Viswasam. Vishwasaha is Sanskrit word. Vishwasaha is Shraddha. Nambikai. Vishwasaha Nambikai. Not doubtful belief, doubtless faith. Unflinching faith. Vishwasaha is a Shraddha. In what? Faith in what? Vedanta Vakyeshu. In the teaching of the Vedantic words. Which Vedantic words? Vedantic words unfolded by the teacher. Which means unflinching faith in the teaching of the Vedanta Shastram unfolded by the teacher as the means of knowledge. Of the truth. See, you don't need to mechanically accept everything. You have to see, is moksha, what is moksha? Is it an ultimate end or what? Is it a choiceless end or not? You don't need to accept, unless what moksha is, and see how it is definitely a choiceless end. And Shastram says, knowledge is the only means. Yes. Shastram says, so you have Shraddha. That's what it is. Unflinching faith in the teaching of the Shastram. Unfoldment of the Shastra's words. That it serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. It serves as a means of accomplishing my ultimate goal. It serves as a means of accomplishing my ultimate goal, thereby making my life absolutely meaningful, complete and successful. That faith must be there. Only then study of the Shastram is possible, isn't it? If you don't have Shraddha in the words of the Shastram, the very study will be, what now, disturbed. You cannot do justice. You cannot study the Shastram. You can't enjoy the benefit of the study of the Shastram if you have no Shraddha in it. So Shraddha must be there. Shraddha means there's a great reverence also for what the Shastram says. Okay. Unflinching faith, the great reverence that it serves as a means of knowledge of the truth and understanding of which and following which will make my life a meaningful life. That is Shraddha. This is the discipline. Then the last one. Okay. The sixfold disciplines are over now. Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. This is Tattvabodha order. And Samadhanam comes first, Shraddha comes later. So in Tattvabodha class, Vedanta Sara class, two classes are listening so that it must really get, isn't it? Go into minds, like anything. okay, now we are completed, now the next qualification is going to go, that is mumukshutvam. Of the fourfold qualifications, we have seen what now? Three qualifications, and we are having what now? What are we doing now? Adhikari is the main topic of discussion now. The eligible student, and Adhikari is the one who has fourfold qualifications. Not the fourfold qualification, we have covered now three qualifications. Vivekaha, then Vairagyam. Now we have seen disciplines. Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti. The fourth qualification is what? Mumukshutvam. What is Mumukshutvam? And there in Tattva Bodha, we read this. Moksho me bhuyaditi tivra icha. There, here, moksha icha. Mumukshutvam means moksha icha. Mokshaya icha, moksha icha. Desire for freedom is what? Having the desire for freedom. Mumukshutvam means having the desire for freedom is mumukshutvam. The desire for moksha is moksha icha. Okay. Imagine, if the desire for moksha is not there. See, desire for moksha is there in everyone. Unfortunately, we do not know our own desires. Sometimes you have to discover the desire dormant, latent in you. Desire, like that, no, the child, the children, sometimes the babies cry. They do not know they are hungry, but they simply cry. The mother understands why the child is crying 3-4 hours since I fed, must be hungry. Then mother goes and feeds. And Shukra stops. The same way, Shastram, we do not know that what we are really seeking. The Shastram helps you analyze the Purusharthas. By helping us analyze the Purusharthas and make us see the fact what we are actually searching for through the pursuit of Artha, by seeking security, what are we searching for? By enjoying all forms of pleasures, sensory pleasures, intellectual pleasures, aesthetic pleasures, enjoying all forms of pleasures also, what is it we are seeking ultimately? And also, but even by living a life of dharma, being charitable, doing that, doing this, you do so many things we want to do. By doing all those things also, ultimately what we are searching for, what we are seeking, Shastram asks this question, and we have to, without denying, we have to accept the fact, yes, we are seeking freedom from unhappiness, freedom from sorrow. We want to get rid of sorrow, really speaking, which means we are seeking happiness. And we want to be happy always. We want to be happy everywhere. We want to be happy with everybody. This is a fact. This is a fact. Everybody wants to be. That is why this moksha, the freedom from unhappiness, even though we use the word moksha, freedom from unhappiness, is the direct meaning. The implied meaning is what? Happiness. Happiness. And happiness is what? This is a choiceless end. And it's a common human universal end. How do we know that? Because people of all times wanted moksha. People everywhere wanted moksha. And people of all cultures want moksha. Isn't it? So by all the people of all times, of all places, of all cultures, what is one thing which is uniformly sought always is what? Moksha. This, nobody can deny this fact. That's why I said the whole Hindu way of life is based on this vision. In the sense what? Based on this fact that nobody wants to be unhappy is a fact. And based on this, our end is determined based on this fact. The way of life is determined what now? Based on the fact nobody wants to get hurt. Okay. So here, this is Mumukshutvam, and this is there, and the Shastram helps you discover the fact that you are desperately all the time, every human mind is searching for freedom from undesirable, unwanted sorrow, sadness, grief, pain. Therefore, what one wants is happiness. Once you discover this, and I want moksha. I'm searching for moksha. Once you know what moksha is, and you will discover what now? Of course, you cannot stop. Okay, the goal is set. And the desire for moksha is very important. You must have discovered the desire for moksha, which is already there in you, in the form of searching for artha kama dharma. When you discover it, and that moksha is only in knowledge, if you know, you become committed to the, only then commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is possible. Only then commitment to study of the Shastram is possible. Commitment to study of the Shastram is impossible if you are not committed to study of, committed to the pursuit of the knowledge. The commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is not possible if you do not know the connection between knowledge and the moksha. And that you cannot understand the connection between knowledge and moksha if you do not know moksha being the ultimate goal, choiceless end. Therefore, it is very important to know what moksha is, and thereby commitment to the pursuit of moksha must be there. So that's why the desire for moksha, one must have discovered, which is already there in everyone. And the discovery of the desire for moksha, which is already there in one, through the analysis of the purusharthas, is what? Is very important. Otherwise, all the qualifications will be impossible. Viveka will be impossible. Even vairagya will be impossible. Discipline will be impossible. Commitment to study of the shastra will be impossible. Pursuit of knowledge will be impossible. Doesn't make any sense. Therefore, it's a purushartha nischaya. It's a must. Okay? Purushartha is being definite about one's moksha being the one's ultimate end. Ultimate human pursuit. Then, that's called mumoksha iccha. This is one of the fourfold qualifications. Here ends the qualifications topic. Now, okay. Now here, from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the teacher quotes, gives a quotation. He likes quotations. For everything, he gives example, isn't it? He says, Evam bhutaha pramata adhikari shantaha dantaha, which means the person who is endowed with these fourfold qualifications, who has shamaha, who has damaha, who has uparamaha, who has titiksha, who has shraddha, who has samadhanam, who has mukshutvam. By repeatedly listening to these qualifications, we have to make efforts to become qualified. That's what the idea. So, such a person alone, who has mukshutvam, who has vairagyam, who has, now you can see, you can check whether you have all these qualifications. Do you have nitya nitya vastu vivekaha or not? Definitely you know what is permanent, what is impermanent. If you think if you don't have, you have yet to become mature, okay? I'm not saying anything about and I negatively anything about you. Still, you're all highly revered. If there's any doubt about, do I have viveka? I don't know whether really I have viveka. I don't think it's what is permanent and what is impermanent. Am I really interested in permanent thing? Am I interested in knowledge of the reality which is permanent? Am I still interested in this worldly unimportant and impermanent things. I'm not saying you should not be disinterested. You should be disinterested in impermanent things. I'm not saying. Don't search for right thing at the wrong place, isn't it? Or vivekaha, vairagyam, then disciplines. Of course, you try to become disciplined hereafter. How to become, how to have shamaha, how to have damaha, how to have uparamaha, how to have titiksha, how to have shraddha, how to have samadhanam. We have seen already. So we have to be. Now we know how to be. Then, mumukshutvam, the fourfold qualifications. So one who is endowed with his fourfold qualifications is the qualified, the eligible person for the jnanam. If I am not eligible, should I study the shastram or not? Whether I am eligible or not, I should study the shastram. Shastra study will every time you listen to shastram, it will emphasize the importance of being eligible, becoming eligible. So I can make possible efforts to become eligible. Along with my efforts to become eligible, I can also study the shastram. It will go hand in hand. Okay, now next topic comes Vishayaha. Vishayaha. What is Vishayaha? Now, Adhikari topic is over. Adhikari. Who is Adhikari? One who has fourfold qualifications. At last, we have covered of the four factors which are associated with the any textbook. What are the four factors? Anubandha Chatushtayam. Hope you remember this word. Anubandha Chatushtayam. There are four Anubandhaha. Four factors which go with any textbook are: one is the reader, the person who is eligible to understand subject matter of the given textbook, who can benefit from the textbook subject matter. That we have understood. We have already seen Adhikari is over. The next topic is Vishayaha. Vishayaha is subject matter of the textbook. Content of the textbook is Vishayaha. So that is taken now for discussion. What is the content, subject matter of the Veda Anta Shastram? Because this Veda Anta Saraha, Vedanta Saraha happens to be the same manual. Vedantic manual, subject matter of the Upanishads is subject matter of the Vedanta Sara also. He says, Jiva Brahma Aikyam. Jiva Brahma Aikyam. Shuddha Chaitanyam Prameyam. Tatra Yeva Vedantanam Tatpariyat. See, the aim of Vedanta, Vedanta Tatparya means the ultimate aim of Vedanta Shastram is to reveal the oneness of the truth of the individual, the microcosmic being, and the total, the macrocosmic being. So, Jiva Brahma Aikyam. The absolute reality of the entire cosmos being the truth of the individual. Understanding the truth of the individual being the truth of the entire cosmos is called what? Jiva Brahma Aikyam. The truth of the individual being the truth of the entire cosmos, understanding the fact of the truth of the individual being the truth of the entire cosmos is called what? Knowledge of the oneness of the reality. I'll repeat it. Understanding the truth of the individual being the truth of the entire cosmos is the knowledge of the oneness of reality, which is called Jiva Brahma Aikya Jnanam. And this Jiva Brahma Aikyam, oneness of the truth of the individual and the total, is what revealed by the Upanishads, Vedanta. So Vedanta reveals this fact of oneness of the reality of the individual and the total. And what is that reality? Shuddha Chaitanyam, the pure consciousness being the only reality, from the standpoint of which the individual and the total are one and the same. And Prameyam means what? What is to be ultimately discovered is the pure consciousness, which is not an object, but which is the very truth of one's own self. So discovering the pure consciousness, the only reality of the individual and the total, which has to be ultimately discovered as one's own self, not as an object, is the aim of the Upanishads. And here, subject matter of the Vedanta Sara is what now? Vedanta Sara textbook also, subject matter of the Vedanta Saram also is the same. Vishaya started now. Vishayaha. See, Ekam means one. Aikyam means oneness. Noun. Ekam, one. Aikyam, oneness. Jiva means the truth of the individual, and Brahma means absolute reality. Brahma is a word implying the absolute reality in terms of its nature of fullness or limitlessness. So the word Brahma implies the absolute reality, and Jiva implies the truth in reality of the individual. So Aikya means oneness. So oneness of the reality of an individual and reality of the whole is what? Jiva Brahma Aikyam. So what is that reality of the individual and the total, or what is that absolute reality obtaining as the truth of the individual, is pure consciousness. So what Prameya means? To be known. Here the pure consciousness is something to be known. Pure consciousness is not then known, but something to is the one to be known. It's not an object, but it has to be discovered. What has to be discovered is this pure consciousness, which is the only absolute reality obtaining as the truth of the individual. Okay, Prameyam. And this is the subject matter of the Vedanta. Vedanta aims at revealing this fact. So Vedanta Sara also aims at revealing the same thing. Subject matter of the Vedanta is the subject matter of the Vedanta Sara text also. So we'll continue in the next class.